In the book The Last Battle, the final book of the Chronicles of Narnia series by C.S. Lewis, we hear the four children are back in Narnia, Jill, Eustace, Peter, and Lucy, and now Narnia has completely changed. A new evil has fallen upon the land that completely changed the land of Narnia to the point where they are afraid for their lives. And as they're wandering around realizing the implications of what had happened, they find themselves trying to escape this great evil that wants to kill them. As they're escaping this evil, they're wandering through a forest. As it gets dense, they get a little bit more afraid. Where ought we to go? Lucy, now not the youngest any longer, sees Aslan, the great lion, off in a distance, and calls to their three, saying, "Look, there's Aslan, let's follow him." But they don't believe her, because they don't see the lion. So they say, "You must be seeing things. You thought something else. You're hopeful that Aslan will come back, but he's not here." So they continue their journey, and a little while later, Lucy sees him again and says, "Look, it's Aslan, let's go after him." And Peter, the wise older one of the group, says, "No, that's not the right path. This is a much safer path down the cliff. Let's take this one instead." But Lucy was adamant, "No, I saw him. He wants us to go this direction." The group decides to take a vote. Once they finally voted, three voted to go with Peter's plan. Lucy was the sole vote for her plan. So they decided to go with Peter's plan off on the difficult journey that they were on. A third time, Lucy sees Aslan again and says, "Look, I know it's him. I've seen him three times now." And they all believe she's delusional. If you want to know what happens, you can read the book. I have my point, though. My point is, in the midst of all this chaos and change and things going on, who was right? Did Lucy see Aslan? Read the book and you'll find out. Or were the others right that she was delusional? How do we find the right path? That is essentially the question that all of us are asking in our very complicated modern society, and our readings start to guide us to that right direction. How do we listen? How do we understand? What is truth? How do we find the truth? These are the basic questions. Now, our readings for today don't teach us how to find the truth. They teach us how to be open to it. And here we have a great example. Jesus tells his disciples, "I'm going to die and rise from the dead." What's their first response? "Who's the greatest among us?" Let's ignore what he just said. I don't like that. And so he teaches them a great lesson, a lesson we need to hear as well. In the midst of all their arguing, complaining, debating amongst each other, he takes a child and places it in their midst. Now, those of us who have raised children might be a little surprised by Jesus' choice, but even in their time, the same ideas come to us as well. A child in the Greco-Roman period of Jesus' time was considered next to nothing. They didn't have rights, they didn't have power, they weren't wise, they weren't learned in things of the world, they had nothing. Without their parents, they were destitute and pretty much going to die. Now today, we are not far from that. We still think of children as inexperienced, as unwise, as foolish of the things of the world, and their sayings as almost cute to an adage, but not really things that are worth paying attention to. That's where Jesus challenges us as well, and puts a child in our midst and says, "Look at them." What is surprising about the child? The child has lots of characteristics that we don't have. They have an openness to the world around them. They're not bound by our ideologies, by our thoughts, by the way we assume the world must work. To them, the world is a play box, open to new possibilities. That's where we need to be as well. To a child, right and wrong are not solidified yet. Change is welcome and encouraged as they wander through and see things anew. The same thing works for us. We need to be open to change and new things so that the inspiration of the Spirit may come in us and guide us to trueness, to find the truth, not to just be there. And lastly, the child has a simplicity that we all lose as we grow up, a simplicity where the things are almost magical in the way the world works, that there is a spiritual realm. It's not just bound to our materiality. And so in this way, the child is a great representation of how we need to speak about the things of the world and how we work with each other. I also sometimes wonder what that child was like. Can you imagine all of a sudden Jesus pulls you aside and you're like, "Ooh, I'm with Jesus. This is so exciting." And he's like presenting you to all the apostles, all these great men. You're like, "Ooh, it's me. I'm here." Think of how excited that child was. But nevertheless, that's the image of the child. The opposite image we have is from the Book of Wisdom, a scary image, where these are people who are so adamant against the truth that they're willing to kill for it. These are people who are so bound by their way of life, so bound by their ideologies and their thoughts of the world, that change is impossible, that finding the truth is not even on their mind. If anything, they would like to kill the truth. The truth is troubling because it requires change, requires that I might be wrong. Our goal is to not be those people. Our goal is to be the people that are more like the children, where we're open to the truth, we're willing to find it. But how do we get there? That's the ultimate question. And actually, there is wisdom in today's readings as well to guide us to understand that. Because the first part is to listen. Now, I want to quote a song that will help you understand where I'm going. And I only need one verse from it. It's The Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel. A song that's immensely profound of its own. In one of the verses, it states exactly what the problems are with our modern world. We so desire the silence, which tells us that there's nothing there, nothing to listen to, nothing to pay attention to, that we become people who are talking but not speaking but not listening, people who are hearing but not listening, people who write songs that will never be sung. I hope you hear the sadness of that. We are people who are hearing but not listening, speaking but not talking, people who write songs that will never be sung. This is the great danger we must watch for too. That if we want to seek the truth, we want to know what's right, and more importantly, we want the truth that is God, we must be people who are willing to discuss, not argue, people who are willing to debate, not try and change people's minds, and people who have an openness in our own minds to new things, new ideas, and a newness that comes from the Spirit, not just from change of its own. This is the great challenge, because Jesus tried to teach a message to his disciples, and the response was sad. He tried to teach them that he must suffer and die and get them ready for that reality, the same thing we need to have on our forefront of our minds. Jesus suffered and died for our sake. This is a central reality of our faith. Because of that, we have new life. But if we're not careful and we're like the disciples, we'll ignore everything Jesus taught us. And we'll ignore him speaking to us here and now. We won't want to hear it, because it requires us to change our thoughts, requires us to possibly be wrong. But you know, that's okay if we get to find God, right? So let us not be so afraid. Let us be open. Let us be hopeful people, like the letter of St. James tells us, because people who seek the truth have a joy to them. They have a new life to them. They can wander through the world without a care, because none of it really matters overall. What matters is that we find God and find him fully for who he is, that we can wander into the mystery of his great love and come out joyful that Jesus Christ died and rose for our sake, that we can emerge into the true light and not wander any longer in the darkness and gloom that leads to depression and sadness. My brothers and sisters, let us seek the truth. Let us find it. Let us be open to it. And let us experience the greatness of what God has done for us.